Hi, this is Heather Bonham, and you are listening to the Midlife Best Podcast, and this is episode 086. Today on episode 86, we're going to talk about the book. Finally, the book club is here. The second version of the book club is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. So what we're doing is, this is a replay, and this is how it's going to work. So I will explain it in the next part of the podcast, but I just wanted to take a minute here and explain how it's working and what's going to happen. So in this version of the book club, I decided to do things similarly, but a little differently. What's going to happen is that I'm recording the book club episodes on Facebook Live, just like I did before, and I'll also copy those onto YouTube on the Midlife Best page for both of those. But then here on the podcast, yes, the weekly episode will be whatever happened in the book club, so I'll just repurpose that content, but I'll probably also be adding some in-between episodes. And I don't have a schedule for that. It's not going to be like every certain day of the week. It's just going to be as things come up. I did a bonus episode once when I was doing the previous version of the book club, so probably it'll just be bonus episodes like that. Now, in order to get the study reflection questions, that you're going to have to be on my email list to receive. I am trying to grow my email list, but I also want to do that carefully and consciously and have people who really are interested in my content. You know, it doesn't do any good to have, and this is any social media really, but it doesn't do any good to have all kinds of followers if they're people who are just deleting your emails, not reading your stuff, not watching or listening to your content. What good is that? So what I want is listeners, viewers, people on my email list who are really into the kind of content that I'm into. So the way that that happens is by offering something that people are interested in. So in this case, as I'm doing the next version of the book club, it'll be those reflection questions, the questions that help you apply the book to your daily life and help you to revisit that content and think about it more. So if you are listening to How to Win Friends and Influence People by audiobook or reading it in a book format, either in an ebook or actually the hard copy, which is what I'm doing. I'm listening to it on audio. I'm reading the hard copy. I'm doing the book club live and then keeping that content so you can watch it at your convenience or listen to it on the podcast at your convenience. Then on Thursdays, when I send out my newsletter, you'll be getting those reflection questions. So it's like you'll be really deeply studying this content and doing it in a variety of ways. And then those reflection questions, by the time you get to that, you should be really familiar with the content, and then you'll be able to apply it to your life. So we're going to go slow and steady wins the race throughout this content. But people are saying, how do we find it? Because it's not, I don't know that they're saying it, but they perhaps are thinking it, not necessarily saying, but like, how do we get those reflection questions? Because the thing is, for the first version, I put it on the Midlife Best Facebook page, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to mail it out every week. And then you get that when you get my weekly newsletter on Thursday saying, hey, the latest version or the latest episode of the podcast is available. So how you get on that email list, I've said it a lot of times throughout the episode that you're about to hear, but I'm going to say it one more time just for you in the intro to the podcast. And the way you get that is you just email me and ask to opt in. You are opting into a mailing list. So you ask to be put on my mailing list. Email me heather@midlifebest.com. Email me from whichever email address you want my mailing list to go to. And then I'll just copy and paste it into my email list. Super easy. So in the subject line, you could just put mailing list, email list. I will know. Write me a note if you want to. That'd be great too. And then you'll be getting those reflection questions to help you even further along. All right. So without further ado, here is the audio from the very first. And that was, by the way, the date on that was November 19th, 2019. So here we go. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon. Well, hello. Here I am with the Midlife Best Book Club. I'm Heather Bonham, and I just wanted to pop on here. I know it was unscheduled, but I needed to get this book club part two started back up this week. And so tonight was the best night to do that. So if you're watching live, I know people might be trickling in when they see the announcement that the book club is going on right now. So thank you if you're joining live. And if you are not, if you're watching the recording, that's great as well. What I found out during the last book club was that a lot of people watch the replays on either on Facebook, on the Midlife Best Facebook page, or same content that's put over onto the YouTube channel. But a lot of people also were listening to this content as a podcast. I can't say a lot, but people were enjoying the content. Hi, Wendy. People were enjoying the content also as a podcast. So I use the exact same material. And what I do is I use a program. It's very easy. And it's called repurpose.io. If anyone is interested in putting content out there and they want to know, for a non-tech person like myself, in fact, in the classroom today, I said to the students, we were doing something that involved the computers, and I'm getting pretty good on Google Classroom and using computers in the classroom, but I said to the kids, there are two things that they did not hire me for. Thing one was my art ability, and thing two was my computer technology skills. So that's just the truth. So I use something, it's really easy. It's called repurpose.io, and you can check that out. I don't have an affiliate link or anything like that, but they have a free trial. And for me, when I was going to start making content for Facebook and then putting it on YouTube and also putting it on my podcast, and I had no idea how to do that, I got the free trial, but I wasn't ready to do it yet. I needed like some extra time. And the owner was super nice, very easy, emailed me back. He said, no problem. Let me know when you want to start your free trial and you'll get your free trial. And then after that, determine if you want to use it. It's $20 a month to use after the free trial, and it's totally worth it to me because it's just that simple. So that being said, this will come out as the podcast this week. Now, I publish my podcast, if you don't know. It comes out on most formats, but I publish it through another program called Anchor.fm. And again, I know that some people have told me in a little group that I'm in, they've said, well, I want to start doing a podcast. I totally recommend Anchor. It is completely free. You can record your podcast on your phone. Then you can also log in from your computer. So it all syncs in the cloud. Again, for non-tech people, there are way fancier ways, I'm sure, to do a podcast. I don't know those ways. I don't need to know those ways because my podcast is just something that I do every week. I've done it for more than a year. My episodes now are in, I think I'm up to 85 or 86. So I don't need fancy equipment. I don't want to spend money on a bunch of in-home studio stuff. That's not what I'm doing. So I use Anchor and it all just works together really nicely. So if you are interested in doing Facebook things, YouTube things, and podcasting, I am not the expert, but I do know how to get the job done cheaply, easily for people who are not tech people, which that is me. So, that being said, all of this is going to come out, and this is how the book club is going to work from now on, at least this iteration of the book club. All of this content will be done live, recorded, and then republished, repurposed. So let me get tea. So how that happens is my podcast will still come out every week on Wednesday. And then my newsletter always comes out on Thursday, my email. So it always has the link to the podcast, but you can find that podcast on pretty much most podcast platforms, because Anchor, again, I don't have to do anything. Anchor just automatically pushes that out. So that's really nice. So if you want to get the book club notes, I did the book club notes last time. The first book that we did earlier in the fall, here it is. I remembered to switch my camera this time so that everything's not backwards. The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It was fabulous. I really enjoyed doing this. And this book, I had notes for it, reflection questions, really. And those are available in the Midlife Best. The Facebook page, it's weird, but it's under menu. It's under like information and then menu. Probably I'm going to take that down here pretty soon. So where that will be available and where these new notes will be available is only through my email. You'll get that through my newsletter. The way you sign up for the newsletter, of course, it's free and that's super easy. Just email me. It's heather@midlifebest.com and just say you want to be put on the newsletter list, the email list. So what that will do is it will add you. You're opting in. But then every week when I send out my newsletter, which will go, I actually schedule it to go out. So I do it ahead of time and it goes out on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern time. You'll get the updated notes to where we are in the book, in the new book that we're doing, which is this book right here, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. So this is going to be a long-term project through this book club. And so every week you'll just get those updated notes and then you'll also be able to get that content. And I'll probably podcast or publish some podcast episodes in between the book club episodes as well. Just because, as you know, if you've been listening and following for a while, I'm a teacher, so I talk about teaching things. I talk about writing because I also like to write, parenting teenagers, you know, all that good stuff, long-term marriage, faith, all of it. So that's the content, like that's where all the content will be. That's how you'll find the content. But the main thing that you need to know is to get what you want, if you want the notes, you need to get on the email list. So heather@midlifebest.com and just email me from whichever email address that you want to get the notes and be on the mailing list. Okay, super easy. So with that, let's get started. I just want to today talk about this book a little bit and go over the preface. So then next week we will start on part one. And I can't promise that it's going to be on Tuesday, but it looks like Tuesdays are going to be the best days for me. So just like with everybody, I'm busy and I have things going on. And so I'm trying to find the day that works for me to do the live broadcast. And I did them before on Sundays, but Sunday nights just weren't it. By the time everything gets done on Sunday and you're trying to be ready for the week ahead and trying to have some rest and relaxation, going to church, or in my case, I've been watching church online, honestly, most of the time instead of actually going, just because I kind of just need that quiet time and that rest. And I feel a little bit guilty about that, but I also feel like just right now it's just been the best. So anyway, Sunday nights, then it just felt like that was something that was not allowing me to wind down on Sunday nights and just be completely ready. Oh, hi, Jill. Hey, how are you? I'm glad to see you here. I'm seeing Sterling people. I love it. Sterling. When I tell people Sterling, I just say, look on a map from the middle of the United States and kind of point to the middle, and that's where I grew up. So anyway, the content, for me, creating the content is not a difficult thing or a stressful thing, but just carving out that time, you know, on Sunday nights felt like it was time that I kind of just wanted to be in pajamas and just chill out. And I'm very, especially in the last year or so, I'm very specific and I guard my evening time a lot. I have a podcast episode, of course, I don't remember what number off the top of my head, but it talks about what routine I find to be the most important. And for me, it is not the morning routine. It's the evening routine. That for me is the key that makes everything else run smoothly in my life. And it's interesting because if any of you follow Chalene Johnson, she actually has two really good podcasts, but the Chalene Show, the most recent episode, so it's the mid-November, the second week in November episode, I guess, she talks about her evening routine and how she had a lot of sleep issues and how much that evening routine has just completely helped her life. So anyway, but I have been the same way. I found out the same thing for myself. I need my evening routine so that I can really function and do everything that I need to do throughout my day. So all of that is a lot. And now we're into the book finally. So How to Win Friends and Influence People. I talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about how I ended up choosing this book, but in a nutshell, the very condensed version is that I really thought that this book would benefit one of my kids, you know, teenage stuff and just trying to navigate high school and all of that. And she rolled her eyes. I got the whole teenage, like, I don't want to read that book. That book is old. That book is old people stuff. Okay. So I thought to myself, why did I recommend this book? And why would I think this book is a book that I want to go back to? I've never read the whole entire book. I've probably bought multiple copies of this book over the years. I've had it on audiobook for a long time. I think I got it like 5 years ago on audio. So why did I recommend this book? And I had to think, well, this book is such a classic and I constantly hear that it's recommended on all these lists of books that you have to read, books that you should read in college, books that you should read if you own a business, books you should read by the age of 30, you know, but there's a reason this book has been around since 1936. There's a reason. And so I knew that even though I ordered the book for one of my kids, hi, Faye. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting to see people here. Hi. So, and then I forget, I get excited to see people's names pop up and then I forget what I'm saying. This book has been recommended so many times by so many people and it's like always on lists. People that I respect say, oh, this is a must read. So it really is. And what I've been doing is I've been listening to the audio in my car and then coming back and doing notes from here. And then from that, I'll take my reflection questions. So I just wanted to give you the history a little bit about this book and then get into the preface. And that'll be it for tonight's episode of the book club. This book was originally written in 1936, and then it was updated several times. There are several versions of this book. And so he explains in the beginning, Dale Carnegie, if you don't know much about him, he was originally from the Midwest, ended up in New York, kind of like me, and he gave seminars in New York City that originally started as public speaking seminars. So he was trying to train business people, sales people, and it kind of, I think, ended up appealing to people from all walks of life, but how to do public speaking, because they always say that so many people are afraid of public speaking and don't do well, and they don't know how to present themselves, and so that really affects them in their business life. So that is what Dale Carnegie actually started doing, but then over time it evolved into a class that he was teaching, again to business people, but also to people from all walks of life, and it really started to incorporate how to handle people, because he found out that it wasn't just about public speaking, it was really about those interpersonal skills and how important those are to everyone, anyone and everyone. And certainly I think as a teacher, I mean, the more I'm getting into this now, I'm thinking, hi, Lisa. Hey, I feel like I've talked to you more recently than I have in way too long. So it's good to see you. But he talks about how, you know, it wasn't just the public speaking skills, it was those interpersonal skills, and it was where people didn't feel confident, and people, and I can certainly relate to that. One thing that it probably seems incongruous to me, hey, Lita, hi, oh my gosh, hey, a blast from the past, right? I'm not shy, but I definitely have that side, and I think a lot of us do. And a lot of us, when you say, are you an extrovert or an introvert, I'm really somewhere in the middle. I am on the side of being extroverted, but I really definitely have like tendencies also of being introverted. And so there are times when, especially for me talking on the phone, I get really nervous. I'm much, much better now. But when I was younger, and people really probably find this strange about me, but you know, I just say it like it is. I really would be so nervous even when my kids were little to order pizza. I hated to pick up the phone and order pizza. Like, so I had a lot of awkwardness with things like that, but yet one-on-one, I was pretty confident, and in front of large groups, I was way more confident, and I don't know why that is. So I would feel more confident getting up in front of a group of people than calling someone on the phone, which would make me really nervous and really uncomfortable. But like I said, I've come a long way, and certainly it seems weird. I never get nervous up in front of a classroom. That doesn't make me nervous. Talking in front of a whole class is fine, but we all have certain things, certain areas that are either awkward for us or uncomfortable for us, or areas where we feel like we need to improve. And so that's where this book really comes in. And then just in the very beginning, in the intro, he has a couple of quotations that I thought were good that I wanted to share. One is from a former president of Princeton University. And again, this was written in 1936. So this is probably someone who was president a really long time ago. But he said, education is the ability to meet life's situations. And that's from Dr. John J. Hibben. He was a president of Princeton, former president. And then someone else, and I actually don't know who he is, but it's Herbert Spencer. And he's quoted as saying, the great aim of education is not knowledge, but action. And so we can take that to everything in life, right? That really is true. Knowing things doesn't matter. It's what you do with them. And I would say, when I talk about doing the book club and I tell people the value in the book club, it's not just reading the books. It's applying things and finding those kernels of truth that apply to our own lives. There are always going to be things that don't apply that seem irrelevant to us, but there's always enough value in pretty much anything that I read that I feel like it was worth my time, and certainly worth my money, because books are cheap, honestly, especially these days. You can get used books, Kindle books, audio books. I mean, it's not difficult for us to get the information. And of course, we could get it from the library. So it's not getting the information that's difficult. It's just figuring out what to do with it. So in this book, there are a lot of different, not even chapters, they're different areas in the book. And we're just going to go through them and do one at a time. But he gives in the beginning, in the preface, he gives suggestions for how to get the most out of this book. Excuse me. And that's what I wanted to share today. I've been talking all day. I've been teaching all day. Every time I go to record, it sounds like I have no voice. And I really do. It's just my voice doesn't get a rest. So he gives these suggestions. He calls it his 9 suggestions for how to get the most out of the book. And these honestly are how to read and study anything. So if you just bought this book and only looked at how to read a book and how to study a book, I think you'd get something out of it. Even those of us who are adults, parents, educators, a lot of times I think that we're in a hurry and there's so much information. For me, I feel like it's information overload all the time, but I don't slow down and study what I want to study. And I think I would be better off, and probably people would agree, that if I just did a couple of books a year as a deep study, instead of constantly putting things on my Kindle, constantly saving articles to read later, you know, I just have so much stuff that I want to get to, but if I just slow down and take the time and really study it, I would probably get way more out of that and retain it. So as I'm going through this, I'm thinking how much of this applies to my 7th grade students and my young adult children too, my college students and my high schooler. So this is really how to study. And he just goes through 9 steps, but for the most part, it's close reading skills. he talks about really slowing down and reading the book multiple times. As I said, there's the dog. The dog is here to tell you, yeah, you can hear him. He is big. He's here to tell you that the neighbors are moving their car, and it's really important that he barks so that we all know that. So he might bark. But it's really close reading skills. And he says the first thing that you need before you start reading is what he calls a desire to learn and a vigorous determination to increase your ability to deal with people. And that's the one thing that you have to have before you read the book. And then as you read the book, he says, again, read each chapter rapidly at first, or in my case, I'm going to do the audio version. And then don't go on. Go back and reread that chapter. And that for me, I mean, like, just, this is my book notes. So you can kind of see I'm writing stuff in the margins. I don't know if you can see that. I'm scribbling in there. I'm putting numbers. I'm putting arrows. Because for me, that's what I need to do. And that's what he suggests doing. Also, then he talks about reflecting, which again, I write those reflection questions, and you can get those by getting on my mailing list. So that's easy. He talks about either highlighting, using a crayon, a pen, a pencil, whatever works for you. I know some people color code their books too. I don't really do that. But then he just talks about going back over it and refreshing that information. Once you've studied a book, you will lose it. If you don't use that information and keep studying that information over and over, you really didn't get much out of it because it's going to be gone. And he talks about something which I think is really interesting, but I have had this experience. Have you ever written something and you went back over and read what you have written later and you actually don't remember writing it, or it seems like someone else wrote it? Yes, I have had that experience. Oh, here he is. Do you want to come say hi? No, now he's going under the table. I've had that experience so many times, and I have written things, and later on when I go back, it honestly does not seem like something that I wrote. And sometimes I'll think, oh, that's interesting, and I realize that I was the one who wrote that, and it's the weirdest thing. But he's saying that it just goes out of your head, and I guess that's true because we have so much all the time coming in that we just kind of put it in the back of our mind and let it disappear. So he talks about going back over the information. He talks, and here's another quote from Bernard Shaw, quotation. And this, as a teacher, again, this is super, super hitting me hard, because he says, is a quotation from Bernard Shaw, if you teach a man anything, he will not learn. He will never learn. And then the notation on this from Dale Carnegie is, learning is an active process. We learn by doing. So his point is that you can't teach anybody anything. They have to go and learn it. Which sometimes when I've been teaching seventh grade and they're not wanting to learn what I'm teaching, I have to remind myself that. Thankfully, right now, the last couple years I've been teaching science, so it's kind of nice to be able to throw in a lot of labs and hands-on stuff, because the kids like that. And honestly, yes, it does make them pay attention, and they're engaged in the learning, and they remember it. So for us as adults, we have to think about how we can engage ourselves with our own learning and use things, and it'll stick in our mind. So, and then he talks in here about you have to make new habits, make a game out of making those habits. And then he talks in here also about, and I think this is good, a business person that he knew, a person who is the president of a Wall Street bank, talked about, stop barking. This is what happens when you're on live. You get all the background noise. This is my dining room. I'm sitting in my dining room. So he talks about this Wall Street banker, and what this guy did was he kept what they call an engagement book. So some kind of a planner, like a daily calendar. And every Saturday, this guy would, he had track of all the appointments that he'd had throughout the week. And every Saturday he would sit down and he would reflect on all the people that he had met with, all the appointments he'd had, all the things that he had done. And he would ask himself these questions. And this, again, super valuable. And we're only in the preface of the book, not even in the first part. But the questions that he would ask were reflection questions. which those questions were, what mistakes did I make that time? What did I do that was right? And in what way could I have improved my performance? And what lessons can I learn from that experience? And this, I'm sure, very well paid, very prestigious banker felt like those questions and doing that every Saturday evening just kept him honest about his own progress and what he had done that week. And those reflection questions were what made him grow. And he said over time, he would have a lot more positive, good feedback for himself than the negative feedback about what he had done wrong. But he says it helped me improve my ability to make decisions, and it aided me enormously in all my contacts with people. And so Dale Carnegie, throughout this book, you're going to find that he takes tons of examples from his students, from people that he knew in New York back in the day, back in the 20s and 30s. And he actually passed away in 1955. So this is all the first half of the century. But he gives a lot of examples. And that's one thing that I like about his writing, is not just all of his thoughts off the top of his head, but these are concrete examples from people who did things that they found helpful. And then, like I said a bit ago, for me, for us, it's always take what works for you and leave the rest, because we will find things that apply to us. And certainly for me, yes, apply to my writing and my projects that I'm doing, but I'm always looking for what's going to help me out in the classroom, because that's what I do all day long. And then when I come home, it's what's going to help me out in my family, because that's what I do the rest of the time. It was so funny. One of my students said to me yesterday, you greet your students on Monday morning and you say, oh, what did you do over the weekend? How was your weekend? And the one girl says to me, Miss, what do teachers do over the weekend? And I just laughed and I thought, well, what does anybody do over the weekend? It was like, I imagine that kids think that we go into the walk-in freezer and we just freeze ourselves all weekend and we just reanimate and come and teach again on Monday. No. And I just laughed and I said, well, like, what do you think we do? What do you guys do on the weekend? And so we were talking about that. Hey, Jessica. Hi. I love seeing these names pop up. But it was just so funny because, you know, what kids think, and these are 12 and 13 year olds for the most part that I teach, but I said, well, I just do normal stuff on the weekend, you know, like whatever you do at your house. And I said, like, I do laundry and I go grocery shopping and I cook and, you know, I see my husband and my family, like my kids. Like, she goes, yeah, my mom did my laundry this weekend too. And I thought, okay, so yeah, teachers are just like your mom. And it was just funny. But so I'm always thinking, how do things apply to my teaching practice? And then how do things apply to the rest of my life? Because it's all connected. It's really all the same. So this book, I know I'm going to get a lot out of it for both of those domains and for writing and creative things too that I want to do. And then the last suggestion that he has before we get into part one, which will be next week. Part one is there. It's fundamental techniques in handling people. And I've already been listening to the audio and it's just really, really good. But the last suggestion that he has for how to get something out of a book and how to make it worthwhile is to take notes about your wins. He doesn't call them your wins, but that's kind of our vernacular today to say, what were your wins? What were your positive takeaways? What he says is showing when and how you've applied the principles. So take notes and write down when you've applied something from a book, any book, but this one in particular, when you've applied it and when something worked for you, because that helps you to remember it, helps stick it in your mind, and then you can always, you know, come back to that and do it again and it will continue to work, hopefully. So the one funny thing, because again, this has gone through several editions and reprints. So what he says in here is that he has provided at the end of the book blank pages to record your triumphs. There are no blank pages. There's like a blank page, which is heavy paper, and then no, it's just an about page. So they took out the blank pages, but apparently in the original 1936 edition, there are blank pages to use as like a diary or a journal kind of thing. Not in this book. That's okay, because I have lots of notebooks, lots and lots of notebooks, because when Staples has their back to school sales every year, I feel incredibly compelled to buy a lot of school supplies that we don't need, because we already have a box of them in the basement, and my own children do not need that stuff anymore. And like the one in high school, but she wants to pick out her own stuff. The ones in college get their own stuff. So I just continue to buy school supplies. Like, I have all these young children at home. And then as a teacher, I make the excuse, well, I need all these school supplies, which I don't. So I have a whole box of them. So I have plenty of notebooks and journals and pens of various colors and markers and scented stickers and yeah, all that stuff. So I'm sure I will find journals that I can write when I have applied the principles and when they have worked. So I'm going to wrap up for tonight. This will be this week's episode. But just a reminder, if you didn't hear this or you weren't here on the beginning, the way to get the notes, the reflection questions, which I'm going to be working on probably tomorrow, but the way to get that is to subscribe to my email. And so just email me from whatever email you want to use, and email me at heather@midlifebest.com, and then I'll put you on the mailing list. And then those reflection questions will come with as an attachment when I put the podcast out on Thursday. Well, on Wednesdays, but the newsletter on Thursdays. Okay, is that fair? All right. So thank you for coming to my impromptu first book club of this season, I guess. And I'm going to wrap it up. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.